full of hidden dangers. Why are we here? We are here to learn how to defend ourselves against these dangers. This week, we're going to be looking at how you can use the negative energy of a would-be assailant and turn it into a positive force for your own self-defense. Okay, now, Ryoki, I'd like you to play role of attacker in this demonstration. Okay, come at me. Right. I don't want to see any Jackie Chan bollocks. I want to see some windmilling in. And if you've got a set of keys on you, stick them in your hand and make them count. That's good. That's good.
Hello. Welcome to episode 42 of season 2 of Hacker Voice Radio. You're joined here by none and only, one and only, I've lost the ability to speak. Yeah, it's incredible. On 17th of October 2005. Once again, we're joined by the one and only Planetus Lavis.
Greeting us.
Maximus.
Stuff. Us. Yes. Hello, us.
How's it going?
Not bad, mate. Yourself?
Cool. Yeah, good, good.
Cool. It's been a while.
Sorry?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has, it has. And we're just turning up the volume on Ionix in case he wants to say something. So.
Oh, hello.
His, you know, liberties of freedom of speech are not suppressed by my slider.
And I think that's about the only thing they're not suppressed by.
Yeah. So, we're kicking off a brand new, fresh season. This is going to be revitalized, remade, and renewed. Yes, somehow. Somehow we're going to get there. We've already... we've witnessed some of the incredible awesomeness of our actions on the fully packed Hacker Voice conference that was held by us and the incredibly soldiering 2600 crew. I don't know. I'm talking in riddles. Now,
riddle me this.
Yeah, I have to say that it was a fantastic event. I fully enjoyed it. I mean, it was really good to see the people there, and it was good to actually see that people were listening to our show. They took from it from what they could, and also the people that didn't know about it do now. And we've seen a lot of new faces and a lot of hits to the website, which is fantastic.
Yep, the actual event itself went very, very well.
Mm.
Oh dear, very professional of me. I was very surprised, as I've said on the forums, in the post I did about it, thank you to everyone who showed up, everyone who joined in and got to talk to people, and just enjoyed themselves. It was a fantastic time.
Oh yeah, it was. You know, if you cut out all the kind of hacking shit, You had a good event, you know, a good drink, and you get to talk to some incredible people. As far as getting the whole hacking thing on, we managed to do our little presentation, our little speech. There was a lot of exchange of information, ideas. It was fantastic to see all the new faces and all the old faces. You know, the people that have stuck by us from day zero, really. There. It was a shame that we weren't able to be gifted of the presence of SCOBY, and also, well, Ionix wasn't able to turn up because he missed his flight, I don't know.
Yeah, I got caught up in security. There was that whole body cavity search thing.
Yeah. The fact that you were carrying a small army in your pocket.
Well, they were dehydrated. It was like one of those, just add water.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, there are only several thousand of them.
Wouldn't you love to have, like, an army of monkey ninjas in your pocket? All you have to do is add water, and your minions are activated.
Yeah, I've been working on doing that, but so far, breaking monkeys down to their chemical compound has worked fine. It's kind of putting them back together that I've been having trouble with. Gone through a lot of good monkeys that way.
They've come out all deformed, haven't they?
No, they mostly come up as a tasty porridge.
Yeah, I've had many beta tests and. Right, we're going to be talking about several things tonight's show, mainly phone related, which is kind of what being out, just burnt myself with a hot fucking thing from my cigarette. Anyway, we've kind of missed out the whole kind of phone thing in the previous season. I think we've only touched upon it a few times, but I've come back to my roots, and I acquired a Maxon MN1, which is one of the old-school, kind of second-generation, I think, GSM mobile phones. There's some really cool stuff you can actually do with one of these things, and surprisingly enough, you don't even have to put a SIM card into it to get the full functionality. Now, the first hack you could do with it would be to get the menu up, because the menu is naturally blocked off unless you stick, you know, when you stick a SIM card on, you have the full functionality of the phone. Now, without it, the phone is blocked off. Now, there's a quick little hack, well, it's not really a hack, it's just a thing you do, which is *#, or *#, 9922 hash, and that brings up the entire phone system settings and menus. Also, if you wanted to get the diagnostics up, what you'd have to do is *#9911#, and that displays cell information, your channel that you're on, the amount of voltage that you're putting through, the amount of downlink and uplink quality, and various other things. Now, it's interesting to see, as you hop around the channels, how they change, when they change, and what happens as you are, where you are physically on that network, which is pretty cool.
Very.
Now, you can take that one step further, and I think Ionix is the man to talk about that step further.
Well, I don't know about on GSM networks, but I can talk a bit about the systems here in the United States.
Yeah.
And things that you can do with them.
Cool.
All right. Well, in our tool belt here, we're going to start with the most simple. An old analog system. Now, it came about in about 1987 that they began actually taking scanners and blocking off the cellular bands so that you would not be able to access the 824 to 900 megahertz, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Or 873 megahertz, one of the two. 873 sounds about right. Now, there were plenty of modifications that you could make to, say, a Bearcat scanner, because instead of actually re-engineering the entire model, they just added something to it so that it wouldn't access those channels, and so you could remove that and it would be unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're interested in. We're interested in actually taking an old analog phone and getting it to do what it does naturally, but only when you command it to. So for our test, I recommend using old pre-EE3 Motorola's. Now, if you have an old, like, Motorola MicroTac, or one of the old brick phones, or even an old bag phone or car phone, if you remove the battery and look at the FCC code, if it's pre-EE3, then on the FCC ID, it just won't say EE3 on the end. That's a good thing. The EE3 standard came about in roughly 1993-1994 and basically was a firmware change so that the test functions that were already set up in the phone would not be accessible or would be limited. The next thing that you want to do is you want to ground out the center pin on your phone so that when you boot it up, it displays a bunch of numbers. They all have meaning, and I would encourage anyone to Google the Motorola Bible as to what those meanings are and what the true capabilities of the phone are. But I'm going to gloss over some of them right now. The first thing that you do
when you boot the phone is hit power. And you hear.
At which point, the numbers start screaming.
You'll hit the pound key, or hash, I suppose.
And it will then tell you what country you're in. Right now, it's telling me I'm in the United States.
Oh.
It says US, and it gives me a prompt. Now, at the prompt, you're going to want to use the code to turn on the receiver. Not the transmitter, you very rarely want to transmit when you're doing this. But you hit the receiver, and what it's going to do is it's going to jump to the strongest control channel to you. And it's telling me right now that that is 333. Now, out of the phone, you will hear something along the lines of this.
Yeah, sounds pretty intense. But what does it all mean?
Well, what you're hearing there are three tones. There's a high tone, a low tone, and a middle tone, which is called a null tone. Now, the high tone is representing a 1, the low tone is representing a 0. And what they do is they show out binary command codes based on what's called the MIN, M-I-N, or Mobile Identification Number, which, interestingly enough, is the phone number. Now, if you want, just turn on the phone, if you have one of these or whatnot, and you can pull up the code 39, and it will actually stream the first message that a tower sends to your phone in hex. Now, through a lengthy study of this, I've been able to figure out what some of these FCC code means. Most of them are power attenuation. Now, supposing you wanted to do something a little bit naughty, you could go ahead and key up the transmitter, at which point you use the code 11, and then afterwards the channel number you want to jump to. Now, for our
hello
purposes, I'm a channel.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I think you're just cutting out there slightly, but go ahead.
Okay. What I just did is I pulled up an encoded CDMA channel. Now, this is not going to yield you any kind of voice, but if you're interested in what it sounds like, it sounds a bit like the command channel, like this. Yeah.
Cool.
Now, if you use this 11 code to scan around through the channels, chances are that you'd find somebody that is in a situation called analog roaming, which they're using a phone that they've gone out of their area and they do not have digital service in. But rather than deny them service to the cell phone, it defaults to an analog channel. At which point you would be able to hear their conversation.
Why? Okay. So this would be a default thing in the U.S., is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
What we have here in the U.S. are dual mode, tri mode, and quad mode phones. But the base mode of all of them are analog.
Sorry, one second.
Hello?
We're getting a call.
Sure.
Hello.
Hmm.
1 second.
Sure.
And as always, Skype is being its old crashing, freezing self. That's why me and Planet have decided to use G-Talk.
G-Talk!
Yeah, it seems to work.
It won't let you bridge a call, though.
No, it won't let us bridge a call. That's one of its, that's one of its flaws, which I'd hope, seeing as it's still beta, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd
I think
hope.
Most of Google stuff's beta.
Yeah.
You know what you could do? Give yourself another Gmail invite.
Oh, right, yeah.
Run two instances of it, and then mix it through your audio mixer.
Sure.
Or your sound card mixer.
I could do that, yeah.
Yeah.
One second. weird kind of feedback. I see where it's coming from. It's coming from the low end of the frequency at about 30-31 dB, and it's coming in and out. Okay, it's good, it's gone. Whoa, it's gone back again and gone. Right, I'm just gonna kill off the whole of the bottom band of my mixer.
Hacker Voice Radio, new season, same problem.
Yeah. Okay, just calling this guy again. So, Planet, do you have any news or anything to bring to us?
No, nothing.
Oh, right, okay.
As always, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Mainly, my thoughts for tonight is basically just to thank everyone for
sharing. The person who you're trying to reach is currently not available.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, just the con.
Right.
And the 2600 meet, and to thank everyone for showing up. I thought that would last longer as content.
Yeah.
But saying thank you
takes
about 2 seconds, if that. Dope.
Well, yeah, if you want to see us again, if you missed everything, then come down again on the mid-month meeting, which is this Friday coming. It's going to be in the same venue. Hello. Doobie-doobie-doo. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad.
Hello, can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Sorry, yes, yeah, just weird delay thing.
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's
Crypt, hi.
Cryptic.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, just bringing in anyway about a conference we've got on next year. We're going to be doing a huge 3-day bit long hackers conference, and it's going to be a big outdoor thing similar to what the hack was, a bit smaller than that, but basically it's going to be about 7th 9th of July next year down in Essex. So if anyone's out there and can get along or can give us a hand setting stuff up, yeah, just come along.
I've heard it's going to be very extreme.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. How are you going to supply power? Because, you know, the whole thing about being a nerd is that you need some sort of
electricity. Well, we've got the power sorted. Provided people bring laptops,
yeah,
power's fine. As far as internet goes, we're working on trying to get some
getting
satellite.
Getting an optical connection. Line going through a cow pat.
Good idea, actually.
Past the farmer's house.
Yeah. Does it make it any faster going through a cow pat?
Yeah, it should do, because, you know, it might heat up the fibre a bit, expand it just slightly. I don't know.
Yeah, just got the chance to get some mushrooms growing on top.
Oh, yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All good fun.
I wonder if the mushrooms would taste better with a Les 10 going through them.
I don't know, they'd certainly look
I don't think
better.
They could taste worse.
Yeah.
So where's the best place to go for information on this?
Yeah. Our forums.
We haven't got a website set up at the moment. We're getting that set up in the next couple of days, but I've just been incredibly lazy on the whole getting internet sites sorted. We've been getting physical stuff sorted, and then we were going to get internet stuff sorted.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we're going to have a website up in the next few days, so check the forums.
Which forums?
Oh, I was going to put it on Hack Voice Radio.
Yeah,
please do.
We're going to have our old ones. But...
Yeah, man, that sounds like a thing I want to be in part of.
Yeah. We're already sorting out the entertainment. We've got a load of good DJs who really want to come down for that. So we're going to have wild parties every night.
Cool.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
When is this going about?
Sorry.
When is it going?
It's going to be next July. Long way off yet, I know, but...
No, you know, for that, something like that, and I assume that's the first time you've done something like that, you need some pre-planning.
Well, done sort of like night long parties and kind of like weekend long parties, but they've all just been having a mad sound system. Yeah. And,
I think I can introduce some wogness to it. Just come down in a stealth combat uniform with my own AWOL bag and everything. I think I would enjoy something like that, definitely.
Yeah, brilliant. Come down in whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
You could even have the Red Arrows parachute.
Yeah, yeah.
Do the Red Arrows parachute?
No, that would be...
Only if they crash.
That wouldn't be very covert.
No. I don't know, just tell them there's like Iraqis there.
You might get one of those low
B-10.
Altitude drops.
So basically it's like hacking but in the field, and in the sense of the field, it is literally a field.
Well, I've got a huge hall in the middle of it.
Right.
But yeah, the hacking's going to take place in the field.
Yeah, kind of completely turns the whole kind of urban sense of hacking on its head, where you're within nature. So I guess it's going to be, I don't know, is it going to be mainly like a survival hacking kind of thing? Like, what to do if there is nothing and there's been a nuclear explosion and you're right there with your laptop, with your mobile and your GPS unit? What do you
do? Generally, with a nuclear explosion, the power goes out anyways, so that won't be any good for that site. But, it worked quite well, what the hack. And I generally enjoy outdoor parties.
Yeah.
And also I enjoy hacker parties. So why not turn two into one?
Yeah. Sounds like Woodstock for hackers.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sounds good.
That's my neck of the wood.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to do that, and I think one day, somewhere in the near future, we might have to do a USA invasion, where we get a whole load of hackers and just go to the US and do some stuff over there.
Oh, I can set
that
up.
Well, no, we just stay here.
No problem.
Stay here and own all the Americans.
Yeah, we can bring them over here, I guess.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Well, if this is going to be a big deal, I may have to book some plane tickets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why not?
So is it going to be tickets or anything like that we have to get
in
advance?
Yeah, we're going to have to sell tickets. Because we would do it all for free, but unfortunately we're going to be throwing a lot of money into this, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't see that as a problem, you know, so...
Yep.
Yeah, count me in. Put my name down on the list.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm up.
Cool. Cheers. But yeah, a lot of the international costs, like what the hack costs about 100 quid, and Hope 2000 is going to cost about same-ish. So we want to price us around like £10 area.
Right.
So all the poor hackers can come over. The ones that are really poor, without laptops and anything like that, are going to be really good for survival.
Yeah. I think I could definitely do a little presentation on something like that. I definitely could, you know. Yeah. I've already got a few ideas. Yeah.
I'll just bring my desktop and run an extension cord from my house.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Just bring generators.
Yeah. My history's not too good.
If you're
going to
be running a sound system, you're going to need some kind of power.
Yeah. Rent a plant or something like that.
Well, I've got power coming from the actual site.
Right.
That should be enough for quite a lot of it. As far as generators go, I've got a history of blowing them up.
On purpose,
so we'll try.
Or by accident.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's basically going to be a tent kind of thing. You pitch a tent, and that's your base. Yeah, definitely, man, definitely.
But if you don't want to stay in a tent, there are lots of bunks around there that's actually on the site. It's going to be safe for VIPs, but there's going to be lots left over from people who just don't want to camp.
Right.
Fantastic.
So, who's the VIPs? Me.
If you want, mate. There's going to be plenty of room.
Cheers.
Initially, we're thinking about 500, but if we can get that much, it'd be great.
Now, the most important question, I think that's going to be on everybody's mind. you know, apart from power and apart from all that kind of stuff, is beer. Is there going to be a constant supply of fresh beer?
Well, there is, but it's likely that I'm going to go drunk. So, you know, there won't be much getting to play with everyone else.
Right.
Bring your own beer.
Yeah, or bring a, like a simple brewing kit.
Well, no, there's shops nearby.
Oh, okay. As long as there's shops. Well,
yeah, there's shops pretty nearby.
That well, gave me about the greatest 10 minutes. Idea ever.
Oh, I'm sorted for that then.
Hacker voice ale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is get some t-shirts out and get some stickers running. I might have to contact Scoby. I'll have to see what kind of shape for me is in currently. To get that kind of stuff printed.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, if you turn up to the next London 2600, we should have a load of stuff sorted out by then.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll hand out a few leaflets.
Mm.
That's about the minute.
Yeah, well, let me know if we can kind of join these things together and see what we can do, you know?
Yeah, that'd be great. Definitely.
You know what? We should also get in touch with the other 2600 groups.
Yeah.
Get the word out to them.
Like all over the all over the UK.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Just like a global hacker broadcast to everyone. Like, yeah.
Well, that's my job for this week, is just getting the message out, see who's like comes back and says, that's great, we'll help.
Yeah.
And then
fantastic.
Open,
yeah,
we've
definitely.
We've got the site, but it's,
yeah, get that site up and running.
Hmm. We'll
need a place.
We'll put a link through to it. Post a few things in the forums, and we'll definitely be shouting that out, you know, on the every episode sort of thing, hopefully.
Over the next 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so let's talk about Season 2. In Season 2, I was thinking about doing some practical hacking tips, such as cryptography, possibly mobile phone use, general kind of presence as a hacker that you have to give to yourself to the world, such as camouflage and stuff like that. Not as far as like ninja skills go, but you know, general kind of practical tips for hacking in 2005, nearly 2006 now. So yeah, I don't know about you guys.
Biggest tip is don't get caught.
Yeah.
Rule number one.
The trick is to hack without doing anything illegal.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh!
Oh, fuck, that's where I've been going wrong all this time.
Now I see.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of clever hacks without actually having to violate any laws. Now, I'm not going to be the kind of person to say don't violate any laws. Mm. The surest way not to get caught, you know.
Is not to do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But that's boring.
Under law. But then again, law is just somebody's opinion.
Yeah, backed up by the entire police force.
Backed up by
and
a gun.
The judicial system.
Which makes that opinion quite strong to break.
Mm.
Which is why we're put here on the planet.
Well, we're talking about legitimized violence. I mean, that's always dangerous.
Oh, no. Well, violence is a different thing.
Yeah.
Violence is a special kind of thing.
But hacking
has
moved on a lot
now.
Yeah.
They're like the only organization that has the ability to use legitimized violence.
Yeah, that's right. Legalized violence.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Sorry, Crypt, you were saying something there, mate.
Yeah, no, I was just saying to hackers, get creative, don't destroy systems. Just get creative and get involved in the open source movement and then work from there.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you have to hack to get the information you need, then do it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be stopped by anything. Just be wary of what you're doing. Now, in news today, RFID tags to track your food. According to the article in IT World Canada, recently food security scares have triggered public outcries in intense concern. People want to know exactly what is in their food and what is done to it by whom. and the Response Canada and many other countries are introducing traceability requirements, records that track all links to the food supply chain, from farmers and processors to retailers and to consumers. The Agricultural and Agri-Food Canada Agency recently released a publicity framework stating that the goal is to make 80% of all food products traceable by 2008. So they're not only tracking you, they're tracking your food.
Can you actually eat these RFID chips?
The RFID tags?
Yeah.
I guess so. You know, it's just going to be RFID will be our staple diet.
And can they track your shit?
Yeah, I assume so. You know, the whole kind of biomass flow that orbits the globe will now be tracked by RFID.
That'll be the next stage.
Yeah.
See who's doing more than their fair share of shit.
I'm sorry.
Charge them a higher sewage bill.
You're shitting too much. Now we're going
Kindly
to have
put
to...
a cork in it.
Yeah, now you know, you're shitting too much. Maybe you're breathing too much. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to tax your breathing.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No. Did you want to talk about... Sorry, go on.
There is one instance where I would actually be for this. And it's an issue that's come up recently within the United States as per using cloned animals as food sources. And as it is right now, the FDA does not have the right to demand that they put labels on cloned animals for food sources because it has to do with the wording of the law, but they're basically, they can't differentiate between cloned animals and non-cloned animals, being that they're perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
And they can't prove that it produces any kind of health risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like a, dare I say, moral issue.
Yeah.
So the one instance where RFID tags for food I would support is if they RFID tag cloned animals so that I knew what I was eating.
Mm. I think that's why they brought in this thing, to be able to track the food chain, as it were.
What about the mad cow?
Yeah.
Surely there are better ways of doing.
Now, Crypt, I think you wanted to talk about ID cards.
Yeah, basically. I think the third reading of the bill is tomorrow.
Right.
And it's basically they're going to bring in the compulsory ID card system. And all the data they've given to the public is completely flawed. I mean, they say that they're only going to cost 30 quid, when actually the 30 quid is the minimum limit that they put on with this study they've done. And this is official government studies, I won't even go into the LSE study.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I think everyone knows the arguments against ID cards now. I'm not really into them, but if you can sort of like lobby your MP or sign the pledge on Pledge Bank, do it, because great, we don't want ID cards, we don't want to be tagged. I don't mind about cloned animals, but as far as I go, I don't want to have a tag on me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen some concerning things in the past few days where they've been talking about ID tags and ID cards. Should I say they're going to be releasing them pretty soon. I think in the next few years they're planning to do this. Now the whole factor will be that it's going to be a release of new passports, as it were, with these smart chips, also backed by the actual ID card. Now, either they're trying to phase out passports and introduce the ID cards, or they are using the passports as the first line of authentication to be able to create the ID card, which is kind of weird, because then it makes the ID card lesser of an item than it does the passport.
Yeah, they can't replace the passport.
Yeah.
But because we need that to get to other countries that are not in the EU.
Yeah.
But as far as an EU-wide passport goes, and the ID card will actually count for that.
Hmm. Very so scary thought. I think in one of the episodes we actually talked about ID cards, which included RFID tracking, so that you were able to use your RFID-enabled ID card for all kinds of purposes, whether it be authenticating your credit card, traveling through EU countries, or simply, you know, purchasing or getting a new job, which is kind of scary. Now, there are some positive things to it, whereas, you know, it's ease of use, you know. It's so easy to be able to do that, to have everything on one card. You just pay for it, there you go, there's this, there's that, I can set up an account, it's not a problem. You know, it's just going to be ease of customer use. Now, with everything that comes out with the kind of ease of use, there's always a backstory to it. Now, it makes it easier for the corporations to gain money from you because there's less of a moral thing. You don't have to think about what you're doing. The money aspect to it, the whole kind of psychological thing of it is completely taken away from the formula, which makes it easier for you to spend money. Now,
similar to a credit card.
Yeah. Now this is happening today, right now, in London, where the big push is from the money, from the paid travel, onto the Oyster cards. Now, the Oyster cards enable you to be able to travel on the London underground tube network and also buses and various other forms of transport, such as trams and all that kind of stuff. Now, I myself possess a RFID-enabled Oyster card, which I don't use anymore. I keep it concealed and I keep it
wrapped in tin foil
because I don't want some other motherfucker to be able to find out where I've been going. It's bad enough that the government know where I've been traveling for the last, you know, 20, 50
but
journeys.
If the government know, then why bother hiding it from everyone else?
True. I don't
know. Because they're going to get hacked, aren't
they? Yeah. Now,
that's the thing, though, is when the government starts instituting these policies, it's only a matter of time before poor schmucks like us have access to that information.
Sure.
Now, perhaps we're not the most malicious people in the world, but there are malicious people out there.
Oh, yeah.
Who would love this information. Either to sell it to companies or to use it to exploit you.
Yeah. Now, the thing that really concerns me about this thing is that what they're trying to do is they're making paid travel with coined money very expensive, and the Oyster card paid method very easy to do and quite inexpensive. You actually kind of cut half the cost of your travel. Now, the way they're pushing this is on fraud efforts. They're saying it's harder to defraud the travel network with an RFID, with an Oyster card. In an extent, it is true. It's much more difficult to fraud, to be able to copy one, make it, you know, like you used to do with your own card. Now, I used to do that for many years, create fraud bus passes and stuff like that weren't real, that had fake, amount of length of time that they were meant to be alive on, or simply getting a scalpel and cutting over the dates and putting it over a different one, which has probably been around for years that people have been doing and stuff like that. So they're trying to combat that with the new RFID-enabled Oyster card. So it's in a way forcing people to have to abide by this new method of travel, because there are, you know, in your own mind you're like, well, I'm not going to dish out an extra, you know, pound to pay to go on this bus. I might as well get this thing, and, you know, so what? And I don't think the whole kind of privacy issue goes through a sane person's mind. And I would say we are the insane. You know, you've got you're measured by the sane and the insane. And, you know, the sane are the people outside that travel to work every day. You know, they live the lives under the corporation's finger, and you know, they come home and they watch the stupid. Yeah, exactly.
They're going to sell this information to Tesco's.
Yeah.
And then Tesco's will write to you saying, I noticed you use this bus route. Yeah, every day. You go past the Tesco's,
why not?
And try out our new deals.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I don't want Tesco's knowing exactly what I do.
Yeah. You know, we've noticed that you've been late to work in the past few days. How about some steroids? Why not pump yourself with drugs? Yes, this is the way. Oh, man.
There's the man with the spliff in the hat.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the things is, when I was growing up, my parents actually taught me that for anything in this world, there are costs, you know?
Mm.
But they never labeled it as necessarily monetary costs.
Yeah.
You know, there are emotional costs, there are monetary costs, there are physical costs, and there are costs to your rights and freedom. And everything that you do has a price. It may not cost money, but it does have a price. And I think that's something that I've taken on throughout my life and held as important. It's unfortunate that more people don't see
that's true.
The global aspect, not global as in worldly, but as in total aspect of every one of our interactions having both a cost and a benefit.
And also in recent You Are Not Safe Anymore news, it appears that the NSA has developed a method to track you wherever you are on the global interweb. Just by pinging your IP address, they're able to define the physical location of you, wherever you may be on this network. Now, judging by the time to live that the packet is routed through the internet, they can determine your ISP's location, then their hub, then their distribution board, and finally, your own home computer. Now, so basically, they're able to determine where the person is on the internet physically now. So nothing can, well, not anything can save you apart from encrypting your traffic fully from end to end.
Well, they'd still be able to tell where you were, just not exactly what you were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be long before we have this technique.
Depending on your knowledge of ISP and certain backdoors in their systems and subcontractors and such, it's actually possible for people like you and I to do the same.
Sure. Now, I can totally trace somebody globally just by figuring out how much time it takes for packets to get to them and from their resolved IP address. That's fine. I can, you know, locate you wherever you are in that country, maybe even to your own city, maybe even to a sector of the city, if I really wanted to, just from the IP address. But they're able to actually determine exact location that you are on the global...
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Within about three-quarters of the United States right now, I can take an IP address, get a name and address.
Yeah.
Hook it into Google.
But the worst thing is, it's the government that are doing this, you know. It's like, they've actually patented this thing. So, it's their... You can't use this. It's their own thing. They can do what they like to it. And nobody is allowed to tell them not to, because it's their... They patent it. Now, in also patent news, it seems that 45% of the human DNA has been patented by private organizations and companies, and also university research centers. So, so basically...
They patented my DNA?
They patented 45%. Now, I think 60% of the DNA has already been patented, which accounts to most of your body. So I assume any growing child has to pay a certain license fee to be able to grow limbs and various other lungs, maybe some vital organs as well. So pretty much, you know, I'm sorry, but you might as well die now.
Be cheaper.
I don't bring this term up very much, but I really think that is an affront to God. And the universe, or the ideal, if you will.
Now, what this patent enables the person to do is basically own that right to that specific chain of DNA, which means that nobody else is allowed to do any research or anything like that. So basically, if they were able to find the cause of cancer, which they already have, and patent that, they can own cancer or any other kind of deadly terminal disease which affects the human race.
Hang on.
I'm terribly sorry. You have cancer. You owe me £1,000.
Yeah.
Pay me.
Does that mean
pounds,
I can sue and we'll the patent owner if I get cancer?
No.
Damn it!
But they can sue you for
infringing on their copyright.
Exactly, because you've... Well, if you got your girlfriend pregnant or your wife, you've copied their DNA. And you created a copy of an... Could you imagine, like, you know, the fucking data rights management on that shit, man?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, big money spinning, though.
Actually, don't you have laws in the UK about people who patent harmful products?
What do you mean? No. To patent harmful products or to make...
There's no such law. No.
For instance, somebody makes a children's toy. It happens to be highly flammable. Somebody dies of it.
Yeah, yeah, there is...
Because...
There isn't anything to stop them from patenting it, but there is something to stop them from producing it and selling it.
Well, if they patent cancer...
Yeah.
And you get cancer, haven't they then, by virtue of their patent, produced it?
No, because they haven't produced it.
They've just found it and said, right, that's mine. That specific chain of DNA I own, and nobody else is allowed to see or do anything with.
Oh, Jesus. They can have my lung cancer.
Yeah.
There's an interesting debate about GM foods a few years back. They found that patenting was legal of genes. So that was the end of that, basically.
Yeah.
So we're all owned by corporations.
That's right. You know, like 60% of your body is owned by a corporation. Now, the rest of that is owned by, well, everything else. You know, you watch TV, yep, that's you know, you're giving your life away there. You're eating their food, yep, you know. From the beginning of, like, you know, it's like, when did we stop making our own food? That's when food became a property. So you weren't able to get the source code of that hamburger you're eating or the source code of that can of pop you're eating because that is owned by the corporation. So let's say you wanted to make your own meal out of the ingredients. It's a bit, you know, you could translate this to, you know, computers. You know, it's the same thing. It's a cookbook, you have different ingredients and you kind of mix them all together and, you know, it turns out wrong the first time, so you try and change the temperature, try and change the approach, and there you go, bang, you know, your script works or your program works or whatever it might be. That's the same thing applied to what they're doing now, and it's very weird.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, guys, I'm
actually
gonna have to go.
I don't want to really go off on the trail.
You're heading off?
Yeah, sorry guys, gotta go rescue a pizza from the other.
Alright.
Cheers for having us on, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. Hope to see you soon.
Yeah, see you guys.
Cool.
Bye.
Thanks for dialing in, mate.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah.
Take care.
Cheers.
Okay.
I didn't really want to go off on this rant. I will just say a small bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that through many of my studies, and I did when I was going to college do a bit of work in this, I'm firmly in the belief that humanity in general went to hell with the agricultural revolution roughly 3,000 to 5,000 BC. Because that was the advent of property.
Yeah, yeah.
Before then there was no reason to designate this land as my land, this land is your land, blah blah blah.
Because you were able to extract a product from that piece of land.
Well,
hence,
as soon as the agriculture, yes. Yeah. And then land had value.
Mm.
Before that, value, you know, property in general, I mean, there was herds and there were goods, but it was more of communal property.
Yeah.
Which, under the definitions of capital or property, is not actually property. And I do think that that was when things began to go to hell.
Mm.
That's about all I'll say. I don't really want to go off. Sure. I could for hours upon it.
Okay.
But it kind of does make sense as far as, you know, the new things that we're doing as far as, you know, rights to genome, rights to food source, this cloning issue, and things like that. I was listening to the radio the other day, and somebody had come on and said, well, you know, if you're going to make these claims about, you know, cloning animals for food sources being wrong, then you have to take that animal husbandry in general has a moral implication that is negative, and in fact that all agriculture does. And I, when I was listening to this, was like, yes, yes, I will make that claim. I do support that. But then again, the time for talking about this and doing something about this was about 5,000 years ago.
Sure. It's a bit late.
A little
now.
Late.
Yeah, just a little.
Anyhow.
Okay, so what kind of stuff should we finish up on? We've got 10 minutes to go, so...
Well, I'm not going to be able to get to the TDMA things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, we can leave that for
perhaps leave
episode.
It for another
yeah,
show.
Definitely.
Something along
how,
those
how about you, Planet? Have you got anything to talk about? I'll take that as a yes. Hello?
I think he's popped off for the patented piss break.
Possibly. I'm not getting any microphone input from him, so I guess...
No.
I guess he's doing something impressive. Yeah, I mean... I had quite a good little weekend, and we were able to discuss a few things about, you know, the way the UK scene is going, and there's quite a lot of fresh blood out there. Yeah, it's pretty cool as far as that goes, and I think we can only develop this project more and more. And I'm looking forward to the mid-month.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be cool to meet up with these people again. No, we're not hearing your talkie-talkie. Let me kill this and call him again.
All right.
Hello.
This is ground control to Major Tom. It's working.
Can you hear us?
Planet Earth is below. Yeah, basically you asked me a question.
Yes, I did.
Anything else to say? Which was... No.
Alright, anything about...
Good job I tuned in for that.
Yeah.
basically, nothing more for tonight, but tomorrow I want to talk about the David Merry story.
Right.
Which I got told about at the THV 2600 meetup. Very, very interesting story.
Oh, yeah.
Very scary. The details are already up there at the London 2600 meeting site. There's also details there about everything we talked about that night.
Yeah.
If you don't know where it is, then Google for London 2600, and it's the first one on the list. I'll save that story for tomorrow.
Sure.
That's something I really want to
talk
about.
I think it'd be
about.
Cool if we could get the guy to do an interview.
That would be incredible. Maybe I'll save it, send him an email, see what he thinks, and you know, let the guy say it in his own words.
That would be cool.
That would be a lot better. Yeah.
That would be great.
So we'll do that.
Yeah. As far as new content goes.
Well, I wanted to announce that I'd like to start a small, perhaps 5-minute segment once a week with hackers around the world.
Yeah.
I've reached out. I've talked to some people. The infamous Iron Geek has agreed to do a bit of an interview.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. Yeah, because his tutorials and what he's brought to the scene
excellent.
Have been great.
Yeah.
Big
I would like
fan
to
of his
that.
Work.
I've been talking to a couple Italian hackers, a couple of which are interested in this. I've been trying to contact some people in India.
Right.
Although I've been having some hard time finding good translation software. It was funny when I was writing the Italians, I was using the Babelfish translation.
Right.
And like, I started out by being like, I'm sorry for my Italian, I'm using some translation software. And apparently they said it was pretty good.
Cool.
One of them actually ended up speaking English, which was...
Yeah, which kind of
helps. You
know,
beneficial.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do have a bunch of people I know who are willing to translate that I've contacted.
Fantastic.
I have an Italian translator on call right now.
Cool.
I can have her translate within 10 minutes,
nice.
You know, if necessary.
Yeah.
And I just thought it'd be interesting to sort of reach out globally and see, like, what the scenes are like in other places.
Yeah, that's a very fascinating project, and you were actually speaking to me about this earlier, and I said, yes, 100% we should do this, because there's no better way of getting the whole thing working than reaching out and touching people and saying, hey, what kind of stuff are you doing in your country? Because it's always going to be different for every other individual. That, you know,
exactly.
We see,
one of the things I wanted to do is come up with maybe 5 to 10 questions that we'd ask each person we interview.
Yeah.
So that we have like a standard, you know, to compare everything by. Mm. Like, obviously the answers are going to be different, you know, all over the place. And it's a project I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
The only thing that's hindering it right now is the language barriers, but I'm working around them. Hacking language.
Yeah. Cool. That's good. I think I'm going to be looking forward to that.
Just I think it's a damn cool idea.
Yeah. Cool. Well, more from me will be kind of just, as I said before, practical applications in hacking, day-to-day life, I guess. I'm probably going to be taking this from my role model, Sean Kennedy. So, repackaging it, refreshing, well, I don't know, taking from what he gives me into my own life and talking about that, I guess. That will work. So yeah, that's basically what I'll be trying to do.
If somebody out there in the UK, one of you guys or somebody you know, could give an instructional tutorial on how to make a proper cup of tea, I would really appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
Easy.
I think we could do that. Definitely.
Because I've been trying, and I think I've come close, but I really don't know.
Hmm.
I need, like, a step-by-step tutorial.
Is it tea just for yourself, or for multiple people?
Wow.
Because then you've got to throw in an extra bag for the
Initially, just for myself.
Right.
We could expand the project.
Well, first step would be to get the water boiling.
Piping hot, yes.
Yeah.
That's where I've been going wrong.
I've been using ice water. Damn.
No wonder it tastes so bland.
And let me rephrase that. You actually have to use water. Not chemicals. Beer. Not acid.
I've been making it with beer.
Well, actually, that might be an interesting project.
Let's try it.
Not after you boil it.
Well, you wouldn't want to boil beer.
What happens if you boil beer?
Yeah, shit.
You lose all the alcohol.
Oh, screw that.
It actually ends up tasting a bit like sherry that you've left out in the glass.
It tastes
for, like,
a bit like
days.
Piss.
Well, it depends on if you're drinking a Pilsner, a lager, an ale, a stout, whichever.
Yeah, maybe a segment on alcohol, probably.
And tea preparation.
And tea preparation, yeah, definitely. I think we could do like a global kind of tea preparation, how the Japanese do it, how, you know, the Indians would do it, how we would do it, and Americans, I guess, you do drink tea?
Well, a lot more coffee.
Yeah.
But yes, we do
need
drink
your
quite
stimulants,
a bit of tea.
Your mind-numbingness drugs, yeah.
Hey, come on, a stimulant is not a mind-numbing drug.
No,
unless,
I mean,
of course, you're talking about narcotics.
Well, it's a stimulant as in the sense that it transforms your mind. So it would numb it from different aspects of what it would usually do, if you see what I mean.
It would numb it from the numbness?
It would numb it from the pain of knowing that you're alive and that you have to face the world.
No, that's alcohol.
Yeah, true. If only my coffee machine at work dispensed alcohol.
Nice cold beer.
Yeah.
You'd have a lot more things to fix, my friend.
Yeah. I think I might modify the coffee machine. Add a special
function. A shot
function.
Of whiskey.
Yeah.
Add a special function. Irish up this coffee.
Okay, so I think this is the end of episode 42 for season 2. Yeah, definitely is.
Yep. Nothing more to add.
What can we add on? End on?
Something upbeat.
I think a little bit of Whitey Cracker. Let's see. Sauce, Mega Nerd, Where's Loader? I think that might be cool to end on.
Alright.
So, this is Whitey Cracker, Where's Loader? Misspelt, obviously. So, it's a good night for me.
Good night for me.
Good night for me as well.
See you tomorrow.
Alright, could you stay on the line for a bit?
Yeah, sure.
Alright.
buried on my hard drive are ISOs and ISOs. They call me the Where's Maestro wherever I go. Up you a torrent and I'll serve it off my daddy. And I'll trade you some porn if your upstream is steady. My IRC bots serve movies and games. Razor cracks cut deep straight through your veins.
Blank DVD with?
Just ask me.
You got that new Star Wars?
Yeah, it's nasty. I'm the Where's Loader, your free hookup on whatever you need, right to your high speed. DCC me, leech me, hit me on my aim, you know how to reach me. Keep your ratios up, or I ban you off my tracker. If you ain't sharing, you're probably a hacker. My switch lights up like a Christmas tree when I'm online surfing P2P. Drop me a line when you see my handle. Up in the names list in your channel. On second thought, don't, cause it's probably a poser. The Godfather Ghost, call me Kaiser Souza. I am the Where's Loader, your free hookup on whatever you need, right to your high speed. DCC me, leech me, hit me on my aim, you know how to reach me. Get all the good stuff before it hits the stores. I sweat zero day right out my pores. I get albums before they're finished rapping. Terabytes of porn, so I'm always fapping. Every episode of every show. Screeners and movies from Tokyo. Why pay for things if you get them free? Even I serve my album on IRC. Yeah. I am the Where's Loader, your free hookup on whatever you need, right to your high speed. DCC me, leech